May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Something that we have said over the years concerning Christ himself living his life through us is that if you want to experience living through you the life of the Lord, then he must reign in you as the Lord of your life. It's a really important thing to understand. Jesus will live his life through you in partnership or as a democracy. You don't get a vote. Your opinion's pretty irrelevant. It's a theocracy. He's Lord. The only way Jesus can live and be himself is as Lord. The question then that's sort of been battered around for 2,000 years, especially in conference settings, but also pastorally, is that how therefore do I make him Lord of my life? Well, here's the thing. It's too late. He already did. He made himself the Lord of your life. We don't have a lot of time for this word because of our, we don't have much time at noon. But hear these scriptures. Because if we talk about coming to a place of surrender, that's kind of what we're saying. How do we get you to come to a place of surrender where Jesus is actually Lord of your life? So you can experience an extraordinary victorious life that Christ wants to live in us in just all the nitty-gritty details that make up living. This is what it says in verse 8 of Romans 6. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. The word with would speak of union. So if we died with Christ, then we will live in union with him, experiencing his life as our life. Knowing, this is the key word often in Romans 6, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death is no longer master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. And the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Basically, what that scripture is saying, and it's a great, fun scripture, is that if you died with him, then you also get to live in union with him. And Jesus is never going to die again for you because he did it once and for all. So the death that you died in him, that he died to sin once for all, you died that same death. And the life that he's now living to God is your life. In other words, in Jesus' death for you, he didn't just die for your sin. He died as you to sin's reign and rule over your life. In him, you died to sin's reign once and for all. So the issue of surrendering your sin to Jesus and surrendering to his will to live his life through you, Jesus took care of that for you 2,000 years ago. That was a bell telling us that's a word from the Lord. It's the sound of heaven. That's right. Again, the desire to be surrendered to him and to surrender all your sins to him and to surrender to his will as your life, he accomplished that on your behalf 2,000 years ago. It's important to see that. Now, this is a scripture I want to kind of focus on still with not a lot of time. In Romans chapter 14, there's a discussion here about there are some believers who are comfortable with drinking wine. There are some believers who aren't comfortable drinking wine. Some believers were comfortable with eating just vegetables. Some believers were comfortable with eating meat. And they would conflict with each other about who's the most spiritual. And so Paul's addressing this whole issue. But I want you to hear what he says. Now accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. One person has faith that he can eat all things. I'm obviously one of those. But he who is weak eats vegetables only. Let him who eats regard with, let him not him who eats all things regard with contempt him who does not eat. And let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge the servant of another? That's powerful. For to his own Lord he stands or fails, and stand he will, for the Lord is able to make him stand. When it says, and stands he will, that's written in the language grammatically that he will keep standing, and it's being done on his behalf. God's doing it. One man regards one day above another. Another regards every day alike. Let each man be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it for the Lord. And he who eats does so for the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who eats not for the Lord, he does not eat, and gives thanks to the Lord. For not one of you lives for himself, and not one dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord. Or if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this purpose, to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. In the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, the independent, rebellious sinner was crucified. Your surrender to his will, he did it on your behalf. He believes it's done. And faith always starts with what he believes. And he raised you up in union with someone who's your Lord. And he says here, every one of us lives for the Lord. These are remarkable verses. So again, the issue is, how do I make Jesus Lord? No, he died and rose again to already make that happen. He is the Lord of your life. The issue of whether you'll surrender your sins to him has been settled. It happened at the cross. The issue of whether you'll surrender your will to him has been settled. It happened at the cross. Well, then how do we walk in it, Bishop? Acknowledge what he's already done. Simply believe the gift and start walking in it. If he is Lord of your life, and he is, whether you acknowledge it or not, then you don't have to make him Lord. You just have to see him as Lord and see the fact that every one of us lives to the Lord because he's already taken over your story, and it is no longer your story, it's his. Listen to this amazing statement. Again, who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own Lord he stands or falls, and stand he will. What a ridiculous statement for Paul to make. And stand he will, for the Lord is able to make him stand. Here is what we spend so much of our Christian life doing. Is trying to get there, whatever the there is. Lordship of Christ, the anointing, the this, that, the other. We don't realize that we all started there. And we walk from there into life and reality. Hear again what he says. For not one of us lives for himself. So quit trying to do that. Not one of us lives for himself. Not one dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die, we die for the Lord. Whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Because for this end, Christ both died and rose again. Not that he hopes he'll be Lord one day. That's what it says here. It's written in a tense that says, it's been done, it's done. For to this end, Christ died and rose again to be Lord of both the dead and the living. Not hoping he'll be Lord, not hoping that we'll make him Lord, but to be that. And when Jesus rose from the grave, he rose as Lord. And for all of us who are in Christ, he's your Lord. And you're not living for yourself. So get over yourself and quit trying. Acknowledge him as Lord. It's this simple. Let me give you an example. I tell these stories. I go back to the dentist today for the second shot of trying to get this tooth out. That's a bad way to say it. They gave me like 9 shots of Novocaine and it was still hurting and I couldn't get it. So I thought the wise thing to do, they gave me antibiotics until Monday. Why don't we wait till like Tuesday so that antibiotic has its full effect? So I call them. They said, well, we're busy Tuesday. I didn't talk to the nurse. I talked to whoever answered the phone. I said, why don't you come in? And I'm thinking, I know how this is going to work. I'm going to come in and they're going to keep doing what they're going to do until it hurts real bad. And if it does, then we'll decide, yeah, let's wait a little bit longer. I would rather wait a little bit longer before it hurts real bad. But I have no option. I just tell you, here's the thing I know, that Jesus is Lord of my life. It's not my life. It's not my story. So we're going to go see what he's up to. Because if I'm living for the Lord. I'm not making him Lord. I'm just celebrating that fact. And when you do, hear me, all the stress goes. There's no stress on you. He said, you will stand because he will make you stand. There's no stress in that. The Lord's responsible for those who are his. I'm in union with the one who's Lord. Not only Lord, but Lord of all. No circumstance can lord over him. No temptation can lord over him. My surrender's been settled. It happened 2,000 years ago. I just have to see it, celebrate it, and enjoy the fruit of it. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.